Let's get our man Drew down in here on the Elk Grove Kid Talk line, 916-909-1320.
We don't hear him on the 1320 too much.
Not often. Drew down, what's up, baby?
Hey, what's up, D-Lo? What's up, KC? I would ask you if you can hear me, but I know you guys can.
I can hear you just talking, not even through the phone.
Yeah, I'm not even on the phone. That's the crazy part. I just wanted to chime in on the starting two guard talk. Initially, I was kind of leaning towards, you know, Keon for his defense and all that. But lately, I'm kind of thinking that Herder might be the play. A couple of things I'm thinking about is on the Warriors in their 21-22 championships season. They had a GP2 coming off the bench, and he would come off the bench and he would just, you know, harass point guard, whoever's handling the ball with that fresh energy. You know, I think that maybe a role that Keon, you know, could really thrive in. And then also, as far as Herder, I know last year there was a lot of talk about, you know, his mentals, about, you know, they were starting Duarte, and there was a lot of talk around the mentals. One of the things that Steve Kerr did when he came in, Barnes, Iguodala was a starter when Jackson was there. But when Kerr took over, he kind of realized, like, hey, you know, Barnes isn't a guy who's going to come off the bench and really get his own shot and really, you know, be a microwave type of player. He figured Barnes, you know, was better, you know, where he didn't have to create a lot. He could, you know, the other guys could create for him. And that he asked Iguodala to go to the bench because he knew Iguodala could come in and affect the game no matter what. So I know there's a thought that, oh, well, if Herter's, you know, if he's too soft or, if, you know, if he can't do that, you know, blah, 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 he's, you know, he shouldn't be here. But I think that there might be a little bit of something to that where, you know, hey, you know, let's let Kevon start, put him in, you know, put him in a position where, you know, he's going to succeed and, you know, really get him right, get him locked in. And that may really bring out the best of him. And just let Keon come off the bench and just play defense and just harass people and do whatever. So lately, yeah, I'm definitely kind of leaning towards Herder being a starting two guard. Let me know what you guys think. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Drew.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing with this situation for me, though, which makes it a little more complicated, which makes it I don't know if dire is the right word, but usually in a situation like what Drew Down was just talking about, and it's like, oh, start Andre or start Harrison, because mm-hmm. then you just bring Andre in and then he'll do that. You talk about the starting two guard spot, that's not exactly how that's going to go. Because the guy who doesn't start, in theory, is now two spots back because Malik Monk is there. And that's where if you start Kevin Herder, you're going to have Keon be your backup three? Because he ain't the backup two. Malik Monk is the backup, too.
I'm sorry, sir. Malik is a guard.
This is true. No, that's a good one.
Thank you. Malik is a guard.
Thank you for reminding
me. Yes, sir. Malik is a guard. And couldn't Keon and Malik come in? Obviously, it's not how it worked, but De'Aaron and Kevin?
Yeah, but Jordan McLaughlin's going to play.
Over those two? Three?
I think he's going to get consistent minutes as a backup point guard. And that's, so maybe I'm just making an argument for what I think should work, but I think it's more seamless if you have Keon starting, Malik is backing him up, Jordan McLaughlin is your backup point guard, and Kevin Herter is your backup three.
So what about Malik in, what if Malik and Jordan come in then? I forgot Keon.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, is Keon going to be? So that's why it's not as seamless as just saying, "Oh, start one." Because
you can move Kevin over. Couldn't you just move Kevin over
to
three?
When those guys are in.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can, but yeah.
I mean, he's not in that scenario. He's probably not playing a ton there because what are you five, 6 minutes in at that point? Mm-hmm. You move him over, like I don't know how much longer you leave him there, if you leave him there for four more minutes or till the end of the quarter or what.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I forget about Jordan.
Yeah. And
Jordan, I didn't have Keon there in that situation. I just laid out, so I don't know what to do. Good thing I'm not the coach.
Well, coach, he just listened to me. Like Mike Brown. Figured it out. I already said what you gotta do. Start Keon. You have Kevin as the backup forward. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing.
Well.
Okay. Everybody called him a forward now, too. I guess we'll talk about that soon.
Yeah.
So, got him as the backup three. And once Keon comes out or Fox, whoever comes out, boom, Malik is in. Jordan comes in for, you know, Keon or Fox, whoever didn't come out before. And it seems seamless.
Elk Grove Kia Talk Line 916-909-1320. Let's get to Kamara. He's calling from the office, so we're getting billed for this. What's up, Kamara?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on, man? First of all, I kind of think this whole conversation is like irrelevant because Malik's going to get 30 plus minutes anyway.
No.
And it really doesn't.
I hope so.
Well, it's going to happen. And then, I mean, we talk about who's starting, but like it's really like the last 8 minutes in the game, like who's going to be there. And the lineup, you pretty much know, you know, DeMar's going to be on the floor. De'Aaron's going to be on the floor. Sabonis going to be on the floor. There were times last year Keegan didn't even make the last several minutes because he wasn't playing well. So what does Mike Brown do? To answer the question, Mike Brown goes with who's playing well at the time, right? Mm-hmm. So what we do know is that, listen, Kevin, we got a great wing in the rotation. I really do think training camp is, they might be to figure out the two-guard spot. I don't think so. My opinion is that Mike Brown's really trying to figure out who's going to be that ninth, tenth guy that he can trust in that rotation. We already know who the top eight guys are going to be, right? Obviously, you know, Lyles, Monk, Kevin is in that three off the bench. And who can he rely on? Sometimes Alex Len, right? But who can you rely on in that other spot? Is it going to be Jalen? Is it going to be, you know, Jordan? Who's going to be that person that's going to bring out that that thing on the team, whether it's defense, whether it's rebounding, whether it's the extra little thing that the team's missing? One of the things we liked about Keon is that, you know, he doesn't have to be the scorer on that lineup, right? I think he hit 52% at the top of the key and 46% on the diagonal. So, like, leaving him open is like a death warrant for some teams, but that's irrelevant. Mike Brown's not looking for Keon to light up the scoreboard. We got scores. The issue is, what does Keon bring, and what do these other players that are on the roster do that is going to highlight or it's going to bring out the best out of this team? And I think that's really the biggest conversation. I think that's something that, you know, I want us really to, like, focus on. Like, who starts? It doesn't really matter to me, ultimately, because who's actually going to be finishing the game is really what's more important to Mike Brown.
Well, I appreciate you, Kamara. While I was talking to him, I was trying to think about, man, how much money did he spend on shirts this summer?
It's not even, that's a depressing game to play, sir. I wouldn't even bother. Like, Kamara, I think
shirts
Kamara
and ascots just, I think all summer long. How much is that?
I think Kamara wears clothes and then donates them. Like, I don't think he actually wears them a second time. Like, he doesn't own a washer. He's like, what am I going to do with this? I'm just gonna wear something, light up IG, and then donate.
That's
it.
That's what we're doing. But, Kamara.
I joke with KC. This is the truth about Kamara.
It's a real deal. Come on, man. Kamara, one of the best dressed guys I know, and it all looks expensive.
No, it doesn't look cheap.
But
Kamara had an outfit on the other day. I was like, I think I could do this. It's a good look. The jeans with the multicolored.
It was a good look.
It was fire. Yeah. I pulled this off.
That whole photo shoot was nice. All the different looks he had all summer, man. It was a good look. But the finishing is easy. It's that picture I put up the other day. That's easy. So, you know, everybody else playing for the minutes in the middle.
Yeah.
The finishing is easy. It's Fox, it's Monk, it's Keegan, it's DeRozan, it's Sabonis.
Yep.
That's how we close in the games.
Yep. There could be anomalies to that, and the anomaly would probably be Malik for Keon.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably just be the flow of the game.
And there were times last year where Malik didn't close the game.
It didn't happen a ton.
No, not a lot.
It did not happen a ton at
matter
all.
Matter of fact, I think I'd have to pull it out. I think it was that Orlando game, the second one, where he didn't go scoreless or didn't make a field goal. And Keon had like 20-some points in that game.
Yeah.
And he got the rebound at the end.
Yes, remember, because Malik was going to have a big game in front of Orlando, and we thought, this is it. This is how we're losing Malik Monk, is this game right here.
And Orlando, who had never seen Malik Monk play before that, saw him play that
yes,
night.
Yes, that right.
Like,
we're out.
Ah, well, yeah. It's cool. I'm cool right. off that.
Obviously, that's exactly what happened. It's logical. It makes sense. It makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, but Malik wasn't playing well. Keon finished it with De'Aaron Fox, Harrison, Keegan, and Sabonis. So, yeah. Could be games like that from time to time.
It happens. Yeah. I mean, most players are. But Malik, like with Malik, you can usually see it really early. Mm. Like you can see his rhythm early. Every once in a while, I can't remember the Minnesota. Sometimes the vibes don't hit till halftime.
Man.
sometimes it's just like, hey, it's not Malik's day. This isn't what we needed. And then he'll score 34 in the next, in the second half, in the next 24 minutes. I don't know. Mike's got a tough job. It's a good job to have though, because they have talent on this squad. But
yeah, I'll take that over. Man, we got to play Lynn Robinson the third now. Daquan Jefferson
the third. Man, name but hey, hit Daquan. Get down, oh, swing your arms. Yeah, we lost. We lost Daquan too soon, man.
Wasn't Daquan part of the? Oh man, I could be 100% right. I felt like he was part of the Carl Anthony Towns trade.
Yeah, in some way.
Oh,
he
might have been. Yeah, because wasn't that with Charlotte? Didn't yeah. it wind up being with Charlotte?
I remember seeing his name. Like, oh, okay, all right.
Still alive. There you go. Yeah, Cass says Daquan just got traded. Good for my man.
I like Daquan Jones.
I'm always fascinated by, they're going to get a third team involved that's not actually involved yet. And you got to, hey, how are we going to make this work? I don't know. Call somebody. Who wants to unload a bunch of players?
It's usually the worst teams, too.
10 times out of 10, it's the worst teams. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. If you want to get in on this conversation, we'll shift gears. Still plenty to talk about. Lots of basketball stuff to talk about, including ESPN having some questions about DeMar DeRozan here in Sacramento. Mm. We'll touch on that and some of the other questions league-wide that ESPN posed. We'll do them when Casey return here. Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Oh, man. We could say that on the air. I was just telling Casey, like, there are young people who watched the vice presidential debate last night who have never seen a debate look like that before. Mm. They've never seen two boring-ass candidates just talking about the issues. That's what debates are. They're supposed to be talking about the issues. But it's been a long time since we've seen a debate like that.
Yeah. And it was fine. It was fine.
In the end, I mean, you want those, you know, you want their partners, you want their running mates to be solid, but
I'll just say this.
It's not what it is.
I want a level of professionalism and class back to that office. Not that I don't think President Biden really has that issue, but just like the circus that comes along with everything. Like I'm really over that. And regardless of what side you're on or whatever, have some dignity, have some respect for the office. And I want to see that come back to the office.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily the office. I think it's the people who are trying to get into the office. Like, because you talked about, that's not an issue with President Biden, but mm-hmm. it still surrounds the office because Trump is running again. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the Trump brand of politics. And listening to J.D. Vance a little bit last night made me think, like, maybe when he's gone and out of this, maybe it changes. Because my initial thought was it's not. Like, this is the new
norm.
This is politics now. It's just different. Like, this is what it is. And I'm not, you know, listening to J.D. Vance a little bit last night made me think, like, oh, maybe it's not. Maybe what you were talking about, maybe your respect for that office is not too far away. Doesn't mean everybody ain't going to lie to us.
Right.
It just means the office of the president is going to be held with high regard once again, which I don't think it has been since President Obama left.
I'm so tired of the clown show and the embarrassment that a lot of this stuff comes with it. It's like, man, let's It's almost like we're not even treating this seriously. Like, let's get back to treating this seriously.
Yeah.
Once again, regardless of what party you're with, I ain't even talking about it. I'm just, treat the office seriously. Treat the job seriously.
And start now in your voting in a couple of months. Treat this election very seriously. Tune into KSFM later today, and you'll hear Kenny's love of the Reagans emerge once again. It's a shoot.
I couldn't remember where I heard that.
That's on today's show.
And let's be really clear. I ain't got no love for the Reagans.
No. Kenny up here in his Palm Angels shirt. Like, I don't understand how my wealth doesn't trickle down to everybody else. I don't get it. Hey. I don't get it. And hey. I mean, I saw what happened to Rich Homie Quan. It's terrible. Just say no. This dude over here.
Was that?
It was Ronald. It turned out to be Nancy.
Well, Nancy might have.
Not that the message is wrong. It's just funny that it came from you.
Streets are saying Nancy liked us too.
Well, salute.
Streets are saying Ronald was acting alone.
What's not to like? It's all good.
Oh, man. Yeah, don't listen to the media.
You know what? Just tune into 102.5 later and listen for yourself. Listen for yourself. ESPN had just a fun little training camp article up where they posed like a couple of different questions. And one of them was, which new teammate has the biggest adjustment to make? And they laid out a number of guys, and we can discuss all of them, but they did bring up DeMar. And they talked about the amount of time that DeMar had the ball in his hands in Chicago, how much De'Aaron has the ball in his hands in Sacramento. And I thought they used an interesting term. They were talking about ball dominant guys in De'Aaron and Domas. And I thought that was an interesting way to describe Domantas Sabonis, because I feel like more than half the time he has the ball in his hands, he's actually looking for somebody else. Like Domas, and I wonder if that's where stats and analytics kind of throw off a conversation, and what you're looking at is, oh, Domas has the ball in his hands this percentage of the game. All right, that's fine. He's looking to pass like probably over half of that percentage.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's essentially a point guard at the center position. And so I've never considered Domas a ball-dominant guy.
I feel the same way. And in the article, I think that was when Kevin Pelton was saying it. Like, I understand what he's saying. It's not like, oh, you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about. It's just when you really are paying attention to what's going on with Domas, like you said, it is him having the ball so he can look to pass it to somebody.
Yeah.
No shade to this player, but it's not Julius Randle with the ball. You know what I mean? It's not Carl Anthony Towns with the ball. These guys, when they get the basketball, they're looking to score from that post position or mid post or whatever the case may be. People could be cutting left and right. They're not seeing them. They're looking at the bucket. That's not Domas in this situation. So by definition, yeah, I guess he's a ball dominant guy, but it's the same way as any top point guard is a ball dominant guy. He's looking to orchestrate for others.
Yeah, I thought it was a statistical number, an analytical, more than it was like the reality of the way that he plays.
Right. Right.
But I thought it was interesting to see his name, you know, referenced in there, and then the concern about, because they mentioned Harrison. Harrison had the ball in his hands 8% of the game. The number for DeMar, I think, was 27 with Chicago. He had the ball 27% of the time. It's almost like the implication is, well, he can't play without the ball in his hands.
Yeah, right.
What's DeMar going to do?
Right.
How's he possibly going to function without the ball in his hands?
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case for DeMar. I don't think it's the case for De'Aaron, and I don't think it's the case for Domas, even though I don't. No matter what the percentage is, I don't look at Domas in that category at all.
And the other aspect of that, too, is De'Aaron Fox. While he does have the ball in his hands a lot, he's a willing passer. He's a willing point guard, you know what I mean, if need be. Like, I've always believed, and I know we'll talk to James Hamm at 3, and James has
probably
seen, yeah, he's seen his whole career. He's talked to him. He knows all this other stuff. we've like disagreed in a little minor way. I've always felt De'Aaron Fox doesn't want to score 28 points a game. I think he'd be a lot more content scoring 23 a night and dishing out 8 or 9 assists. James says, you know, once again, he's closer to him than I am. He's like, no, he's a scorer. Like, he want to put up 28 and all this other stuff, given the opportunity. And I wonder, we'll see this year, I think, because he's got other capable scorers around him, and he may not be top 10 in scoring. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He may take a dip on the percentage. His assists go up, but it's just efficient, and it's just a smoother style of play for him. But I've always believed, like, he's more of a traditional point guard than given credit for a lot of the times.
Who do you think has the – I'll steal their question. Mm-hmm. What superstar or teammate, I believe, what newcomer has mm-hmm. the biggest adjustment to make this upcoming season on their new squad?
Man, my first thought is Klay Thompson. And I don't know if style of play necessarily will be something that he has to adjust to, although there is adjustment there because there's a lot of movement in the Warrior system. There's going to be a lot of standing around mm-hmm. with the Mavs, watching Luka and Kyrie dribble mm-hmm. the ball a lot. But I think he's going to have to adjust to that style of play. He's going to have to adjust to maybe not getting the same opportunities to do anything more than just catch and shoot. Like, that may stand in the corner, get ready to catch and shoot. He's used to moving all over the place. He's used to, you know, getting screens from Draymond and things of that nature. He's not going to get those opportunities, it doesn't feel like, in Dallas. And he's going to have to find his way. He's going to have to adjust to that. So my first thought is Klay Thompson and the adjustments he's going to have to make in Dallas.
Speaking of, probably should have mentioned this earlier, Luka, a calf contusion.
Yeah.
And he'll be reevaluated in a week or so. So Luka already a little feeling a little off here the first couple of days of training camp. My first thought was Paul George. Paul George in Philly.
That's a good one.
And I don't know what like, I love everything that you said about Klay, because you broke down all of the basketball reasons why the game is probably going to be a little bit different for him in Dallas versus in Golden State. I look at Paul George, and I'm looking more at the sense of, where exactly does he fit with Tyrese? Because I can't see a situation where he has a negative impact on Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. Like, those are different parts of the floor. Those two should work like together in.
Right.
But him and Tyrese, like, I'm not really quite sure. So you got him, Tyrese, and you got Joel. How that all plays together, and then Paul George is going to have to kind of get everybody else involved too. By the way, all of these guys are new. Or a lot of these guys are new, at least. And I feel like he might be
two that aren't.
That's what I mean. It feels like he might be like you got Tyrese. You got the old guard there. You got Tyrese and you know, a couple of the guys that they've signed. Obviously, Joel's there. But I feel like in terms of the incoming group of Philadelphia 76ers, Paul George might be the guy who has to kind of rally those guys and get everyone in sync. It's like you have two distinctive different groups in Philadelphia. One might be a little bit bigger than the other, mm-hmm. and you have to try to merge them together to win a championship. Mm. It's not, guys, let's make the playoffs. Guys, let's go out there and do great. It's like, no, we're trying to win a championship right now. That is the expectation of this team over the next, you know, 2 or 3 years or so. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Paul George is going to have to be the guy who kind of leads that charge there for that new group of Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. It's probably the right answer. I don't
think there's a right or wrong answer to this.
Yeah, but I should say the answer I probably go with, because I forgot about
I'm surprised you didn't. That is your guy.
Yeah, I forgot about
Paul
PG.
George jersey.
Well, it's a Philly jersey. Although I'm starting to relax a little bit, because I used to like Philly a lot. Now that their football team is garbage.
No, they are.
There's no reason.
And their quarterback and coach hate each other's guts.
Well.
Well, maybe they don't hate each other's guts, but I know their quarterbacks hate their coach's guts.
Well, the problem there is nothing worse than two people that aren't very good and hating each other.
Yeah. Could very well be the truth.
No, I think Jalen. I think Jalen's better as a quarterback.
He's hate better black as a quarterback. You hate Kendrick Lamar and you hate black quarterbacks.
I don't hate
you either. Hate someone else. I can't remember who I said, but I discovered someone else that you hate.
But Jalen's a much better quarterback than Sirianni, his coach.
That's facts.
Yeah. At least Jalen can make some plays every now and then. Sirianni just stands there. Him and Dom.
Well, Sirianni stands there. Dom finds him and comes and stands near him. Just so he can get in the camera shot.
That's still a wild clip, man.
Well, they said you was Dom. That's what the internet was saying. They said it was Dom out here at Media Day, just lurking around the cameras.
This happened. Just a nice old conversation. Shout out to my guy Kevin Love. Shout out Kevin John. Shout out to my guy Russell too, man.
Well, James is posting audio from practice, and
it's day three.
Well, no, we got Malik, and
Malik a sneaky one too. He might.
Well, yeah, we already got the clear. Don't do it. We got.
Honestly, I like it better when James doesn't tell us that someone cusses, bro.
What I'm curious is that he says Malik drops two F-bombs early and cleans it up.
The suspense is always fun.
And it's also like, what's early?
Yeah.
Let me see how long the video is. Where's James? There's James. So it's 3:48.
Do we get 3 minutes of video? Like, does he do it in the first 48 seconds?
Well, see, that's... Yeah, I'm not sure. So, okay.
Careful, Kyle. I was lightweight joking.
Ooh, okay, so
if we want to play the game, we can play it. But
no. Let's see here. Let me. I'm just gonna scan Malik here, and
honestly, I already got twice. He might have said it.
Okay.
You think you saw it already?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna go.
This is crazy.
We're gonna go right here. All right. Let's see how we did there. He's listening to a question now. I think. Hang on. Yep. He's listening to a question. All right. Okay. I just want to be clear. You think he drops two F-bombs in the first 24 seconds?
It looked pretty early.
All right. Here we go. Malik Monk. Practice today.
No, an F-bomb when I see one.
Courtesy of James Ham.
Energy coming from other teammates, or is it just you?
I'll probably just say everything that everybody else want to say, so I'll say it's just me.
Damn it, James.
There's a lot of quiet.
Come on, man.
That's not even the word we were looking for.
That's
not even early too.
Look at the shot of Malik too. Come on, man.
Bro, all happy with him. Ruined radio James, shows all across.
James said two F bombs early and he cleans it up. Let's be clear. Hang on. We're 46 seconds in.
What is? I need to know tomorrow. We'll talk to James. Or today, actually, 3 o'clock. What is cleaning it up to you, James?
The look on Malik's face is what's funny. That's hilarious. Well, all right.
We got to wait for the dump to build back up. So.
Oh, man.
All right. Goodbye, Malik.
What a rush, huh?
Man, I'm mad I didn't even get to ask Malik about Malik's. I was going to ask him, too. Didn't get a chance to. He probably would have been like, yeah, bleepity bleep. That's a good bleeping idea.
I did tell you I caught the F-bomb. I didn't know about that.
James might not even know that's a bad word. Who knows? It might not be.
We hear it on TV all the time now. I don't know.
That screen grab's funny, though.
No, that's a classic.
That screen grab is funny. Malik just as happy as could be. He loves talking trash about Mike Brown. Absolutely loves it.
Right. That's my guy, man. Shout out.
Maybe we'll play Malik sound during the commercial break.
That's my boy.
Maybe
just listen to the Kings when we're just not on the radio.
Yeah. Post practice sound might just have to be for the streaming audience only. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. Another one of ESPN's questions. Which star has the most to prove?
Well, I think Joel Embiid has a lot to prove. Now, did you see some of Joel's quotes during media day?
I didn't see a lot from the 76ers, no.
He had a quote where he talked about, I'm just going to say the quote. I ain't going to lead the witness at all.
Okay.
He said, it's all about being healthy. You know, I still got a ways to go. I still want to lose more, talking about weight, but it's a process. Being healthy, losing weight. Then goes on to say, there's no agenda. There's no all-star. There's no all-NBA. There's none of that. It's whatever it takes to make sure that I get to the point that I'm ready to go, because every single year in my career, I've been hurt in the playoffs. So that's the goal, and it's all about doing whatever it takes to get there. Your thoughts?
He's not healthy.
He's probably not playing much during the regular season.
Yeah, I don't get the impression he's healthy right now.
So what was the goal the years before?
Well, maybe his approach was different.
What was the agendas the year before? Was it
MVP? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like I'm glad to hear this though. I'm glad to hear this because that's what it probably should have been.
But that doesn't surprise me though. Like he probably so the,
not
the
that
implication,
he doesn't want to win, but yeah. It was like, well, remember that time he lost the MVP and spent like the whole press conference. I don't know if we got. I think they got eliminated, and he spent the whole press conference like, man, what do I have to do? Talking about, and Shaq kind of lit him up
happened.
A little bit.
It when they got eliminated or when they lost the game.
I don't think it was when they got eliminated, but Shaq lit him up. Shaq was like, "This is the problem. Like you worried about like, and I feel like they said eliminate. Like your team got eliminated. You worried about all this other stuff. Maybe it wasn't that, but I say all that.
I feel like he'd wear that forever if that happened.
Yeah, and maybe it was an elimination, but I like this approach to Joel Embiid. We know you're great. We know you're one of the best three players in the game today. You don't need to be, I mean, All-NBA helps with your career resume and all this other stuff. But focus.
We got a Chris Haynes tweet here.
Oh.
I think you'll appreciate this.
Oh, let's go.
Sacramento Kings have offered to host Sac State men's and women's basketball conference home games at the Golden One Center.
Ooh.
Pending arena availability as part of the school's efforts to join the Pac-12 conference or other FBS conferences.
That's big time.
Because I jumbled that, I'm going to read it again. The Sacramento Kings have offered to host Sacramento State University's men's and women's basketball conference home games at Golden One Center, pending arena availability. That's very, very easy to navigate. As part of the school's efforts to join the Pac-12 conference or other FBS conferences.
That's a good look. That's a real good look. That eliminates another issue that they had as far as arena basketball-wise and all this other stuff. That's a real good look. And the one thing that I don't want to hear when people talk about, well, who's going to show up or whatever, I watch Fresno State games. They got a really nice arena. The Save Mart Center is really nice. It's not Golden One, like size-wise, but it's like maybe the SAP Center. Maybe it's that big, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's real empty a lot of the times. Real empty. So I want to hear that. It should be about the capability. And if they're saying we got a venue with the capability to hold 15, I mean, they might not even
16, 17, yeah, 18,000.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
Really whatever number they want.
Right. We got that.
More from Chris Haynes. This is a major hurdle cleared by Sac State. They have a new football stadium in the works, a huge NIL commitment of over $35 million.
Thanks to D-Lo.
And thanks to the Sacramento Kings, now have a world-class basketball facility to warrant admittance into an FBS conference.
It's a good look.
That's our buddy Chris Haynes.
That's a real good look. The only thing about that that I don't want to say is problematic, but that, you know, you wish was different, and maybe it will be in the future, as you wish it was on campus, but that's fine. Like, we'll deal with that down the road. Get in one of these conferences, and yeah, let's do that. If they get, man, they were to get into the Pac-12, you get games against Gonzaga now. You get games against Fresno State. You get games against San Diego State. They're going to show up. I remember when they did the California Classic. That wasn't the name of it. But they had, I remember Sac State might have played Davis the game before, and then it was San Diego State versus Cal. It was like a doubleheader. They had a gang of San Diego State people at that game at the Golden One Center. So you get those type of games here in conference. Yeah, it's on and popping. That's a good look. That's a real good look.
Man, I feel like Sacramento is getting bigger and bigger and bigger as a sports town. You know, obviously we have our Kings that we love, and then you've got, you know, a very, very passionate fan base for the Republic. You're going to have the A's here for who knows how long, but at least a handful of years. And now Sac State potentially becoming a major program and a major conference is tremendous.
Yeah. If they can close down this deal, that would be, we talked about it last week. This is one of the biggest moments in this city's history. If they can make the jump to FBS, Pac-12, something like that, it's just, it helps change the landscape of the city, man. And the thing about it that is, kind of, I guess, maybe impressive. I don't know exactly what the word is, but it seems like it's all happening like in one moment. Like the Sac State football, Sac State basketball, the A's,
right now,
all this stuff is happening. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really cool to see. Really cool to see, and this is great news.
John Poles, man. Not many people say it, but Vec knows business, man.
Come on, man. Come on,
Vec knows business.
Show him some respect. Put some respect on his name.
This man is navigating a lot of different waters here, including one with Sac State. Man, that's awesome. Shout out to President Luke Wood too. Mm-hmm. He is working tirelessly to turn Sac State into a monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. They're making big moves over there. I still think they get this done. There was a couple of things that happened in the realignment process, and for these conferences is going crazy right now. There's teams angling for another conference and using the Mountain West and Pac-12 as leverage and declining offer. Like, it's crazy right now. And I just hope when the dust settles, Sac State gets where they want to go, because they're putting in all the work right now to show that they should be there.
Yeah. I didn't mean to cut off your thoughts on Joel Embiid. We'll get to that, about what star has the most to prove this year. I immediately thought of two, and then I forced myself to make it one.
Oh.
We'll talk about it.
Here it is.
And if we can find some clean practice audio, we'll bring it to you. Stilo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. No practice today for Fred Warner. He seemed optimistic that he was going to play. He said the plan is to play. You don't want to disappoint KC and Cheryl, who are going to the game this weekend.
Yeah, that's her boy too, Fred Warner.
Yeah, Fred's that dude. We will get back to some of our NBA thoughts here in just a heartbeat. We're gonna give it another shot. We're gonna give it another shot. Malik Monk, post practice. We think we're at least three bad words in. Hopefully we have passed all of those.
Quiet leadership on this team. Is it kind of your job to you know, keep things light and fun?
I'll say now, yeah. I wasn't looking at it like that the last 2 years, but especially now, since I came back and got a little bit more money. I gotta voice my opinion and stuff now.
How long do you think it took you to find your NBA voice like this? Because this isn't who you could be.
Yeah, 6 years, man. When I got here, I found it. It took me 6 years. And that's another reason why I stayed. I just found myself. So, yeah, thankful for it.
it's cool to get that, right? Because not everybody gets that opportunity.
A lot of people don't get it. A lot of people get out of here within 4 years after their rookie contract up and never get the opportunity. And people wonder why they didn't get the opportunity. And it's because no team opened up and let them be themselves. So I'm thankful. Vivek got me, Wes got me, Monty got me, Mike got me here. So, yeah, thankful for it.
You have a few years in this league now. I mean, you look around and there's clear talent on this team. How long does it take you, be it training camp, is it weeks into the season, to truly kind of figure out, okay, this team might actually have something?
I already see it, man. Like you said, I've been here for a little minute. I seen when teams were bad. I seen when teams were okay. I seen when we were good. So I'm looking forward to it.
What's maybe like a trait that sticks out when you know that things just are right? Like, is it a trust? Is it a...
When we plan, there's not that many turnovers. When we go out there and we not play them together, and it's not many turnovers. So, yeah, you will know then. Just because how togetherness and how the game is just flowing. So, yeah, you can see it easy.
Has anyone impressed you when you come in really in shape, but you're like, oh, damn, they were working?
He's looking around the
Keegan
room
always now. Works. Keegan never take a break. So yeah, it's always crazy to see Keegan in here a week after we just lost. So yeah, he always surprises.
With him going into year three, what do you think is kind of the next big step in his game?
That's a good question, man. I don't want to put something out there. I want to think about him. Whatever he want to work on, man. It's Keegan. Sky's the limit for him. He could be whoever he want to be. So I don't want to put a label on him. So I'm going to let him figure it out himself.
Malik Monk right there, courtesy of James Hamm.
It's my boy, man, Malik.
It was pretty solid. We got about two. It was we just picked the wrong question. We went one question early, and if we had started a little bit later, we would have made it.
And he threw that BS line in there.
Oh yeah,
real quick.
Yeah.
Malik be cracking me up, man.
We I believe we clocked it at Malik cussing three times in the first 48 seconds. James gave us a heads up for two of them and said, you hoes can figure out the rest from here.
No, the thing about it is Malik probably didn't think that was, or James didn't even think that was a bad word.
Might not have, as we learned on the history of cuss words yesterday.
Well, imagine if he would have said gazooks.
Yeah, zooks. Yeah. That 1800 profanity right
such
there.
Such a trash cuss word, bro.
Like, I didn't even see what it meant. How do you... Gadzooks.
That's something you say to someone after they sneeze or something.
An exclamation of surprise or annoyance. Like, I don't know how you use that in a sentence. Like,
the Indiana Pacers were gadzooks last year in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
That's good call. Good call. Yeah, I like that.
That's a point right there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Count it. Yeah.
And that was gadzooks.
Counts as well, in case he thought my point was annoying, I guess.
I wonder what cycle at which cuss words burn out on.
Man, gadzooks like you. Gadzooks you.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, gadzooks.
only a couple people got that one. But for those that did.
Oh,
man. Do you wanna finish your thought on, we got caught up in the Sac State stuff, Sac State men's and women's basketball playing at the Golden One Center as part of a push to be a part of the Pac-12 conference or another FBS conference. Shout out to our man Chris Haynes for that report. You had some. We were talking about the player with the most to prove this year. You said Joe. Do you want to, anything else you want to say on Joe?
No, just that I'm glad to hear what I read from him in this situation. And look, he was a young guy. You want those accolades. You know what I mean? I'm not disparaging him for trying to be.
We are interpreting, though, to be fair.
That's true, too. I'm just saying, like, worst case scenario, mm-hmm. like, that's where his focus. I get it. Like, come on, man. These are awards that help with your resume to, you know, get into the Hall of Fame, to be looked at as one of the best players in the game. So I understand that. But I do, with his situation continuously being hurt come playoff time, I am happy to hear him say, look, the regular season, I'm gonna try to make sure I keep, you know, my conditioning up, my health up, because I need to be healthy for the playoffs, because I'm trying to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And the way I was going about it before, obviously, I just can't hold up to that type of that type of workload. So we're going to do what we need to do. If that means, you know, rest days or lower minutes or whatever the case may be, that's what we're going to do, because the most important thing right now is being ready for the playoffs. And I think as a top three guy, it's time for him to advance in the playoffs. It's time. Like, we're not talking about just a random NBA All-Star. We've, and rightfully so, said this is a top three player, maybe the best player, MVP, all this other stuff. Out of the three guys we always talk about, he's the one that hasn't, I ain't even going to put win a championship on him, got past the second round.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
If you said something on Joel, go ahead. I
do. Give me one thing on Joel, because there was something I was thinking about as you were laying that out and talking about you feel like it. Be clear, and I think I'm a very big Joel Embiid fan.
I am too. I
like. But Joel, listening to what you just said, and it all started with the quote that you read from about, you know, no agendas. You know, I got to make sure I'm healthy in the playoffs, and he laid all of this stuff out, laid it out very eloquently. He participated in the Olympics.
Mm.
He participated in the Olympics. And after seeing him a few times, maybe we thought he shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if the idea, again, I'm a big Joel Embiid fan, but if the idea is based on your interpretation of the quote, and that's kind of what I'm reacting to, mm-hmm. that he's putting the selfish nature of personal accolades aside, mm-hmm. maybe he should have done that in June.
You're not wrong if that's, you know, if that's where his mindset was. The one thing I will say, and I think you'll understand this, and I even think you'll agree, Olympics are a little different.
No,
Play in those Olympics, win a gold medal, Paris Olympics, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll get started on Monday.
Oh, there you go. I'll get started on Monday. Get this McDonald's tonight, but
I'll get started.
I'm
gonna eat
a salad on Monday.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'll get started. So I understand that.
Okay,
I understand that.
That's just being hypercritical. You know who I thought of immediately was Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I was like, wait a minute, it's not him, it's Dame.
Mm.
Talk about superstars with the most to prove. For me, Giannis don't have nothing to prove to me.
I agree.
I've seen Giannis win a championship. I've seen Giannis win MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
I see Giannis continuing to still perform at a high level. I don't think Giannis has anything to prove.
Mm.
I wonder if Dame does. And I know that we look at those two kind of hand in hand, and then you got the Doc Rivers component.
Believe me out of this.
Oh, thank you. And then you got whatever the hell is going on with Chris Middleton. But Dame out of Portland, that ridiculous trade saga, pairing him up with a superstar like Giannis Antetokounmpo, I don't know exactly what I need to see from Dame Lillard, but I need to see this Bucks thing work. And if it doesn't, I'm not looking at Giannis. Mm. I'm looking at Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Dame's the one I want to see prove something this year.
Is that a little unfair, though?
Maybe.
Because the team stinks
outside
of
thing is unfair.
Dame and Giannis, the team is not great. Like, we just got a tweet about Chris Middleton, I think, last week. He's not even cleared for 5-on-5 contact yet.
I think we got that yesterday.
Yeah, a few, like, recently. Like, the team outside of those two is not great at all.
No.
Yeah, it's not good.
The thing,
I'm not sure how far those two guys can take them.
So here's what I'd ask about that as well. What does Dame have to prove in that situation? Like, does he have
that
to prove
he can
he's
be
a winning player? Is he
that he can be a superstar on a winning team?
Hmm.
On a championship contender. Portland's won. Like, to be fair, Portland's won games. Portland's won series. Mm-hmm. Portland was never, at least in my opinion, a true title contender. Yeah. They were always a good team to watch, normally a fun team to watch because of Dame and CJ.
Right.
Can you be a championship-level player?
And then that goes to...
And Jesse's right. It's not fair at all.
Because they don't... The cupboard is bare around them. So if they aren't a championship-level team, it doesn't feel like that would be an indictment on Dame or even Giannis because there's not a lot around them. But I
do you believe what you just said? Do you think people will look at the Bucks and go, that team's not good enough, that's why they're not at the top of the conference? Or will they look at him and go, yeah, Dame and CJ aren't good enough, or I'm sorry, Dame and Giannis aren't good enough, or Dame isn't good enough, or Giannis isn't good enough? Every conversation, in my opinion, is going to start with those two.
Yeah, and I don't think that's fair.
It's not.
I don't even think that's accurate.
It's not. Mm-hmm. It rarely ever is. Mm-hmm. But that's going to be the conversation. Mm-hmm. Truth be told, in my opinion, Joel Embiid has nothing to prove.
I agree too.
But that's not how the conversation goes. Mm-hmm. Are you a championship player or are you not? Joel been an MVP. Giannis been an MVP. Jokic been an MVP. Those three players have been the top in the league for 6 years now. The top three players in the league bordering on, it's not even a discussion. Mm-hmm. Two of them have titles. One of them hasn't advanced to the conference finals. Mm-hmm. And that's the conversation. Whether it's fair or not, that's the conversation. Giannis is still Giannis. Dame is a superstar. You put them together, like it or not, you got an established coach there. And he's going to take...
Thank you for finally showing me some respect.
He's going to take a beating too, by the way, if this goes poorly.
I mean, look at that team that I had in Orlando. I mean, look at that roster.
Look at that roster in Milwaukee. I had Dame and Giannis, and it didn't work.
I feel like it's the Bucks.
Well, look at the roster I have. I mean, Chris Middleton, I wish you guys would kind of look at that as well.
I'm looking at it, Doc, but... No, I mean, Chris Middleton ain't it. Like, that's 100% ain't it. Go ahead, Jesse.
I feel like if the Bucks fall flat again, it's not going to be, like, talking about Dame. It's going to be more so, all right, when are we getting Giannis out of here then?
Oh, when is Giannis trying to get out of here?
Yes.
I think, and all this is hard for me to argue because I think the Bucks are going to be better than people give them credit for.
I think so, too.
I think they're going to be a top three team in the East, and they're going to be, like, a
who's out?
Good team.
Because there's Boston, there's New York, there's Milwaukee, and there's Philadelphia. And your beloved Magic. Who's out of your top three if you got Milwaukee up there?